Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And also with full understanding that probably like 25% of you are going to jinx me and tell me that it was all my fault. If they don't, I'll take the risk. And the Guardians in action. It's a loaded day. It's Jake Volney with you guys here from 8 to 11 tonight on overtime. We got Mac Robinson filling in on the board until Jax Gregory's all set up. And you heard him on the 2020s as well, doing work behind the glass, Michael Markoch. The draft we talked about a little bit on Saturday, right? And if you caught the show on Saturday, I was on from 4 to 7. I mean, I just absolutely baffled at the two quarterback situation that was happening, as a lot of you guys were. Just didn't make a ton of sense in my mind. And I kind of want to break down the entirety of the picture and now where the Browns are and where they stand, right? Move off of sort of the draft analysis of taking two quarterbacks and where it leaves you, but focus more on where you go from here and what you're looking at. Because now you're sitting with a quarterback room that's as cluttered as it gets, in my eyes. I don't think that things really get more confusing than they are right now in a Browns quarterback room. Because you do have five guys there. And Deshaun kind of makes it four because, one, with Jimmy Haslam's comments this year, you know that Deshaun's never stepping on the field again. But also, given the fact that we sit here, and even with four guys in the room, guys, you can't carry four quarterbacks into an NFL regular season. It just can't happen. You can carry two. You can carry your emergency quarterback, the sort of third guy on, the added man on the 53 every single game. But you're not carrying four. And for a lot of things, right, you look at the Browns last year, they did a very similar thing where they walked in with Deshaun Watson, Jameis Winston, DTR, and Tyler Huntley. And then clearly, as you get to the regular season starting, everyone says, well, one guy's got to go. And their choice that they wanted to make was no more Tyler Huntley. But everybody looks around and can say, it makes sense, Tyler's not there. Why would, you know, it could have been DTR, but you weren't going to cut Deshaun, and you weren't going to cut Jameis Winston. It came down to DTR or Tyler Huntley. They decide to give us Huntley, not DTR. Very possibly the wrong decision in a lot of people's eyes. But either way, the decision they make, and it's no skin off of anybody's back, really, at the end of the day. Yeah, it's a third quarterback. Doesn't make much of a difference. You signed either guy, they weren't on big contracts. But this year, I think that picture gets a little bit foggier when trying to decide what three quarterbacks you take into the regular season. And it's not foggy based on, well, you obviously just cut the one who's not performing the best. It's, well, you drafted two guys and used a third-round pick on Dylan Gabriel. The last time I saw a third-round pick get cut before the first game of the year without having anything off the field go wrong or an injury, just about never. And a fifth-round pick still in a very similar way. You don't see the Browns cutting those types of players. Your seventh-round picks are eligible to get cut sometimes if you don't think that guy really has it. Hey, you take a seventh and say, all right, well, that's that. That's okay. Right now, I don't think you're cutting a third-round pick and you're not cutting a fifth. And Kenny Pickett, you traded DTR and a fifth-round pick for, so that makes him very difficult to cut. And then Joe Flacco, I think the city might go down in flames if Joe Flacco's the quarterback that ends up being the guy out. It just doesn't seem that when you take a look at this entire situation, you're going to be comfortable with moving on from him. Which leads me to, again, where I look at it and say, the room is overcrowded. You can't go through this. But making it all the worse is taking a look at what you have right now and saying, not only do I have four quarterbacks in the room, but I don't know who's going to be starting for game one. I don't know who the odd man out is. I have four guys that are all on or relatively on equal standing with the team to the point where you don't know who's going to get cut, and I don't know who's going to start game one. I know that the Browns said they want quarterback competition, and they're looking to have this type of competition in the room. But to me, it's just not that simple. It's not as easy as, well, you know, we got guys in the room and we're just going to find out who's going to be the best guy and the best fit. You just don't walk in and have that type of competition, that type of really not knowing and feel comfortable with it. Guys, you have at least, if we're talking that you're running a similar offense to what Joe Flacco had ran when he was here in 2023. Maybe he comes in learning the playbook isn't all that difficult and you sort of figure it out. You can sort of live with, well, if you're sitting here with Joe, you feel pretty comfortable that he knows what's happening. He's not learning the playbook. The other three guys do not. So you're going to have to be splitting reps. And in a competition between all four guys, of splitting reps in three of them having to learn the playbook at the same time. So you don't have a consistency on, well, who's running with the first team, who's running with the second team, when you actually get into the real practices. It's going to be quarterbacks flipping all around. And even with the names that are here right now, there's no connection established from quarterback to wide receiver. Not a single one. And you can say, Jake, well, every time you draft a quarterback, there's no established connection made. You're right. And that guy has to learn the playbook, and there's a lot of things to go through. But he's also like Caleb Williams last year. As you think Caleb Williams wasn't spending the entire training camp with the number ones? You don't think he was throwing to Rome Odunze and Keenan Allen and DJ Moore every single time that he was on the field? No, of course he was. It was the same thing for Jaden Daniels. He was throwing with the ones. Right, Drake May may be slightly different, but I guarantee you they gave him time throwing with the ones and then was throwing with the twos. You need to be able to establish a connection. And in times of quarterback competition, you can't do that as well when you have two guys in the room, let alone four. I think it makes the start to 2025 very difficult. And I think that if you're the Browns and you sit here and are trying to establish what this year is going to look like and what you look like out of the gate, I think it makes it that much more difficult to try and find a rhythm and try to find what's going to happen and how these guys actually start the year. I don't think it's as simple as, well, you just stick four guys in a room, one of them emerges victorious and he knows the offense, he gets established at the wide receiver. Like, no, that stuff then has to happen either at the end of the preseason, at the end of everything being sort of close to being done, if they name a guy before the regular season starts, or that has to happen in season. And at this point, I hope that everybody understands there's no Super Bowl expectations here this year. If you're being optimistic, you might call it playoff expectations here this year. But right now, there is no high expectation for what's going to happen. But I think you're looking for improvement. You're looking for this team to be better and hopefully not start ridiculously slow out of the gate. Because I think that's important not only for all of these quarterbacks, but also for team morale, given what they went through this offseason with Miles, what they went through last season, where it felt like most of the people were sort of dejected and out of it. I'm looking for a little bit. It doesn't have to be a fast start, but I also can't sit around and wait for it to be a slow start either. You have to be ready to compete from the beginning, and a crowded quarterback room does not allow you to do that. To the point where you're going to have to establish one of these guys is going to be on the move. And I told you, I don't think that cutting any of them really feels like a great option. Like, if you're telling me the one that makes the most sense without taking any emotion any fan base opinion, team opinion, under the guy you would cut, that would be Joe Flacco. Problem is, he's the most experienced in the offense. He's the most experienced in the NFL, and probably the guy that the fan base would prefer to take the first snap under center. He probably is, as it is right now, the best quarterback in that room. But for going and signing him on a $3 million deal, he's the one that I think you look at and is sort of the odd guy out, the one you can move on from. In fact, Mary Kay was on earlier today and talked about just how crowded this quarterback room is and sort of where these guys could end up being left is the guy that's not sticking here when the season starts.
It's really hard to say, but I've been writing and speculating that perhaps Joe is someone that you could get a draft pick in return for. And last year, they were more than willing to trade Jameis Winston at the cutdown date and again at the trade deadline. So if someone needs a veteran starting quarterback and the Browns are happy with what they have in Kenny and Dylan and Shador, then I could see them at least considering parting ways with him. I have no idea if they would actually do that or if that's in their thinking or plans at this time, but it just is in the back of my mind with what happened with Jameis.
And leaving Flacco on the table as the guy to be cut, the Browns did say earlier in the offseason they want this room to skew younger. This room will skew younger. Well, I think having everybody coming in with like an average age of 25, might, or it's lower than that, it's probably like 24, would be probably a little young. Probably not where you're fully desiring that to be without a veteran in the room. That's just, again, a dangerous scenario. But somebody has to go, and you're not going to cut one of these guys. You're going to look for draft pick compensation in order to move off of one of them. If there's going to be a guy out the door, it's going to be a guy that you're looking to trade. And it's not necessarily who you get the most value for, because obviously there's more that goes into it than that. It's not just, oh, well, we can get a third-round pick for Dylan Gabriel. You know, you drafted him in the third round. You're not just going to be looking to move off of him to move off of him. But you're going to want something back. If that's a fifth, sixth-round pick, somebody's going to have to want to take that quarterback for the Browns to feel comfortable with moving in a different direction. I don't know that anybody's trading away a pick for Joe like Mary Kay says. But if they are, they would certainly consider it. And he might be the one quarterback sitting there that a team in a little bit of a tight pinch who doesn't know who their quarterback's going to be or not confident in their room might turn to and say, yeah, we'd give up a six to at least have him here if something went wrong or we decide that our rookie that we drafted or something along those lines need a little bit of time. I think that's 100% on the table. You might have traded a fifth for DTR or a fifth and DTR for Kenny Pickett. I don't know that you're getting a fifth-round pick back. I know that anybody's dying to have Kenny Pickett on the roster immediately. I mean, potentially, and there's no way you're getting better draft compensation than what you gave up to actually draft Dylan Gabriel or Shador. You just don't move on from rookies like that. So I want to ask you, 216-474-0092, in your eyes, who is the odd man out? When we're looking at quarterbacks, who's the guy that gets left off the board? You can also get me on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake, so we can get to our social media reactions. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. A lot to get to later on in the night as we have the compressed 3-hour show with you guys here from 8 to 11. So we're going to get to Get a Grip coming up at 9 o'clock as we always do. And immediately after, we'll talk to Lance Risen of Cleveland.com, his reactions to the draft and what it means for the Browns heading into the 2025 season. We'll also react to the Cavs, which is hopefully after a playoff win against the Miami Heat, and then sending them to the next round. We'll do that when they're all finished up. But right now, 216-474-0092, who's the odd man out at quarterback for the Browns heading into this season by the time it starts? We'll get to your calls and more coming up here in about 5 minutes. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick with the guys here until 11 on 92.3 The Fan. Jake Volnick with the guys here on The Fan, asking you at 216-474-0092, who is the odd man out at quarterback? It's honestly, to me, just incredibly confusing looking at it and trying to pick one. again, like I threw out the idea that from the guys that you actually acquired through this offseason process, obviously your two guys in the draft and Dylan Gabriel and Shador, and then by trading for Kenny Pickett and just signing Joe Flacco, the signing itself sort of makes him...
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The easiest one to warrant getting rid of, in a way. But also the guy that you probably have the most faith in. It's not easy to move on from any one of these guys, knowing that realistically coming in, it's a much harder path for a Gabriel or a Sanders to start day one, and we all know that. But if one of them came in and just absolutely lit it up, it's not like Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco are a massive brick wall in your way of starting one of those guys day one if you felt like they were ready. So I would make the argument that you could probably come in and have any of the four guys who are on the roster right now at quarterback, obviously outside of Deshaun, he's not going to be active, but any of the other four guys on the roster could come in and sort of be the starter day one, and I don't think anybody would lose their minds and call the Browns insane and say that it's absolutely just beyond reality to start one of them. In fact, it was a conversation had across the day, including Jason Lloyd on this morning, where he was telling Ken and Anthony that the scenario in the quarterback room, the way that he feels like it plays out, who starts and who gets the boot.
They sought out Kenny Pickett. They pursued him. One of the first moves they made was giving up a draft asset to go get him. I'm not saying he's the next Sam Darnold or he's going to be this resurgent quarterback comeback player of the year, but, you know, I think they look at him as someone who can run this system, who's not going to throw it to the other team, which is a really big deal. The Flacco thing was weird to me at the time. I didn't get it. I came around on it eventually just because, like, there weren't a lot of great options out there. We got a long ways to go, but if somebody's the odd man out, if they're going to keep both rookies at this point, I think Joe's the
man out. Like, and Jason's, listen, well within the realm of knowing what's happening inside the Browns, everybody at this point's just taking a guess. I don't think there's any indication. I don't think the Browns would tell you they have any idea that they know what's happening here. Because I truthfully don't think that they do. But yeah, like, even Jason sitting here looking at Joe Flacco saying he could be the guy to sort of get out of town. And again, I think that you have to consider it. Now, I think that drafting Shador in a way opens the possibility for people to be less upset at the idea that you'd move on from Joe. But I don't think the fan base is sitting here saying, no, we don't really want Joe Flacco. Right? Well, we brought him back and are okay with you making the executive decision to go on and cut him. I think that this fan base is sort of ready to see what they missed out on in 2023, thinking that he absolutely could end up being the guy to start week one and see if you can sort of rekindle that flame and make things work. It has to be in your mind. It has to be something you're considering. But I think getting rid of Joe would be a move that honestly puts the Browns back into being the bad guy, leaving you with a less desirable quarterback to start week one, whether that's Pickett, like Jason Lloyd lays out, or one of these rookies, which I think is, again, just a far-fetched idea, but it's possible. But I don't think you leave that. But it doesn't just stop at, oh, well, we all think Flacco's the guy out. That's where we should put our heads at. In fact, Joe DeLeon's been on for every Monday with Afternoon Drive leading up to the draft here in the offseason. And he points out a different possibility of a quarterback that could not be making the roster.
I actually was a decent fan of Gabriel, and for where you took him at the end of the third round, it was a little earlier than I was comfortable with. But I thought that Dylan Gabriel was the type of guy that could stick on an NFL roster for a very long time as a backup. I think that his arm is stronger than people realize, and then you see small, compact guy that kind of roams around in the pocket the way that he does. You're assuming it's going to be a player who can't generate any force with the ball, but he can sling it. I have no idea if he makes the roster. I don't think that there's any value in keeping two quarterbacks. I wonder if maybe this is a guy, if he does really well in the preseason, if somebody doesn't go and trade for him. And if I'm Dylan Gabriel, I'm just putting my head down. I'm going to work. I am avoiding the distractions, and I'm hoping that that happens.
Now, I don't think that the Browns took two quarterbacks to essentially try to move off of one. If it came available and you got higher draft assets, similar to the way that after a year of having Joe Milton, the Patriots decided, I mean, we had him and Drake May in the same class. You could probably move on from one of these guys considering both of them now have value. And we think Drake's going to be the franchise starting quarterback. Hey, you can probably move on from Milton. You don't really need him. But I don't know that the Browns took this opportunity on taking the two quarterbacks just to say, well, we're looking to get draft value out of one of them and the other one to hopefully become something. I think they both have a legitimate, fair opportunity set in front of them. As much as I don't have a ton of faith in Dylan Gabriel, I don't think that the third round made a ton of sense to draft a quarterback that was ninth out of the quarterbacks that I watched, and where a lot of people had him anywhere from 8 to 10, and you took him as the fifth quarterback off the board. I'm not in love with him, but, like, yeah, I would say that if the Browns are willing to use that draft capital to go get him, they're probably wanting to at least see that play out and at least give him time where if you are confident in him when you see him in the preseason, that you try to get him onto the field and see what he can do. I think it truthfully does come down more so in this grand scheme of things to which veteran quarterback is going to be the one off the board. Is it Kenny Pickett or is it Joe Flacco? Now, I would want to lean and say when I'm using my personal bias here, because I think Joe's still got a little something in the tank. I think Kenny Pickett's a walking backup in the NFL. I would say if I could make the decision, you try to get whatever trade assets you can for Kenny Pickett. If you get somebody to throw you a bone as a fifth-round pick, he essentially made a couple moves this offseason to get DTR off the roster. Not the worst thing in the world. Right? You literally cut him for free. I mean, you paid nothing to go ahead and get rid of him. That's not that bad of a scenario. But I don't know that in reality, as Jason had laid out, you go and seek out Kenny Pickett. You reach out to the Eagles trying to see if they're willing to give up Kenny Pickett to sort of bring him home if you don't want to keep him on the roster and give him a fair shot to compete. And again, it makes sense because you're sitting here trying to find your quarterback of the future. And as you go through and try to evaluate who's going to be the guy that's next one out, yeah, I would say the 40-year-old quarterback who you signed for $3 million and is going to be playing in the NFL for a year, 2 years, maximum. Is he getting to 3 years left in his career? I would say it's a tough stretch to get there. Still playing good ball, but you're getting up there in age in order to play. And it's not like the last few years of Joe Flacco have been Tom Brady-esque and that you can just trust him to be out there at all times. I think that, yes, the odd man out in the immediate look at it, the way that it makes sense, would be Joe, because I'm trying to find a guy who's going to be here for a long time. And any of the quarterbacks outside of Flacco have the opportunity to be here for a long-term period where it felt like, again, and I've said this before, it felt like Joe Flacco was a signing that was a feel-good signing for the Cleveland Browns. You look at it, You try to get the fan base involved and try to get them excited about the season. And if he ends up being the guy out the door, sure, is there going to be a momentary, we're a little upset, but if it's close enough to week one, the excitement of the season starts to take over, and the odds that Joe goes out and completely balls out for another team, I would say the Browns are pretty much banking on that being relatively low. They were banking on that being relatively low heading into this last offseason, and they were right. Joe didn't exactly go out and ball for Indianapolis. They're trying to make a decision that's going to come up at the end of this year, and Joe unfortunately feels like the obvious pick in a lot of ways, other than it's going to make the fan base really upset. Everything else points to, if you're trying to find your quarterback of the future and you're trying to find a long-term solution at the position, keeping around the 40-year-old quarterback that had a solid five games, if you don't want to count that playoff game, a solid 5 games here, getting rid of him is probably the decision that adds up the most, and just getting one of these young guys to really learn it. Again, 216-474-0092, who is the odd man out at quarterback for the Browns? Let's go out to the phone. Let's talk to Jeffrey in Cleveland. What's going on, Jeffrey?
Yeah, I don't know. Joe made a smooth transition into the NFL. The other three guys haven't made that transition yet. He made a smooth transition out of the NFL where other teams even still wanted him when he was out of the NFL. I don't know. I think it's going to be because Kenny Pickett hasn't made that transition yet. He threw a couple of dimes in Pittsburgh in the end zone, but he hasn't made the total transition into the NFL. I don't know. I don't know. It's up for grabs. I would say it's going to be Dylan. I think Shadur will make a smooth transition.
Jeffrey, I appreciate the call. I just, like, again, I'm not a big fan of Dylan Gabriel. If you would have drafted a Gabriel in, I don't know, the fifth or the sixth round, I could see it. And even then, I'd probably tell you they're not trying to get rid of a guy they just drafted. But sure, is he the least talented quarterback in the room? Very possibly. I just think that the Browns drafting him 94th is really what makes that the entire situation, it almost can't happen on Dylan Gabriel unless they're going to trade him like Joe DeLeon said. If you find a trade package for him, that's great, but you also have to understand what the trade package entails. The trade package has to be a minimum of a third-round pick. You're not moving back. You're not drafting a guy in the third round and then saying, well, we basically just traded our third-rounder this year for a fourth-rounder next year. That, from a business perspective, that does not make sense. You know exactly where you're drafting with 94, and then you'd be going back the other way and saying, well, we'll take our chances that this guy is going to be the guy that we get in the fourth round here is going to be more valuable than the 94th pick in the draft that we just had. The unknown value is almost always valued less than the pick that is an immediate change for your team and right there in front of you. I just don't see them getting rid of a quarterback that they just invested capital in. And they told you, again, the room is going to skew younger. Well, with Shadur there, and with Gabriel there, that ensures that the room's going younger. Kenny Pickett helps that too. I'm not saying that by skew younger, you can't have a 40-year-old quarterback on the roster, but it definitely it moves away from that point. And the moves they made so far to tell you younger have ended up panning out. Two rookie quarterbacks will go ahead and do that. Again, 216-474-0092. Who's the odd man out at quarterback? And if it is Joe Flacco, are you all right with that as a Browns fan? Would you be okay if they decided no more Joe? Again, 216-474-0092. More of your calls coming up on this as well. Coming up here in about 24 minutes at 9 o'clock. We'll get to Get a Grip as we always do. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick with you guys right here on The Fan. Get a Grip coming up in about 18 minutes time at 9 o'clock as we always do. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here on The Fan. Trying to figure out who the odd man out is at quarterback for the Browns. Because I really don't know where you turn.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I think at this rate, you're pretty close to locking it in that, barring something odd, I think the two rookies are safe, and then it's between Kenny and Joe, both of which I think are fair options to move. But I don't know that moving on from Kenny's as easy as it makes it seem. Like, again, I'll bring my bias into the equation and say that I think he's probably the quarterback with the, I don't know that I want to call him the worst chance of panning out this year, but if you're going to talk about he's either got to be really good this year or a true long-term solution, a guy that really doesn't fit into either of those categories. He does not pose as he's going to be really good this year. Look what he did when he was playing for the Eagles and playing for the Steelers. Like, he clearly hasn't taken that sort of jump into his career, but you don't just trade away a backup quarterback or a third-string quarterback and a fifth-round pick if you don't think that there's at least a chance for a reclamation project there. And I don't know that you're waiting for another team to take on that reclamation project. You made the decision to go out and actually give away the capital, right? Actually go out and seek Kenny Pickett. You don't really have a reason entirely to move on from him. And the career numbers he's put up, I mean, we've battled through some of the Kenny Pickett defense before. But yeah, it just, I don't know that it makes a ton of sense with what Kenny's done so far in his career that he's going to be great, right? In his career, he's thrown 15 touchdowns and 14 picks. He threw two touchdowns and one pick sort of in last year in the limited time of what he actually got to play. But even watching the Kenny games from last year, like, I went through, and I've seen the games that he's played in. I mean, it wasn't very hard. He threw 42 passes last year. It wasn't hard to find what he actually did. But in going and in watching it back, it's not like he blows your socks off. It's not like he's out there being like, wow, there's clearly some real untapped potential in what he did with the Eagles that makes you dying to go get him. I think he's a fit schematically to some degree for Kevin Stefanski and his offense. Like, the best he did was throw a touchdown and no picks. One of the few times he's gone through and been interceptionless in a game where he's thrown a touchdown. But he's never thrown, what, is it three or more? He has one game, I think, with multiple touchdowns so far in his career. Yeah, like 10 of 15, 143 yards, sub-averaged 10 yards down the field. He clearly was a sort of a dump-off Charlie, if you will. He just check down Charlie, I think, was what I was going for. Yeah, it makes a whole lot more sense. Didn't quite get there, didn't quite connect it in my brain, but it was the same thing. Guy's Charlie nonetheless. But I just don't think watching him play a game against Dallas where he throws 15 passes and throws for not even 150 yards in either of the two games that he played significant, if we can call it that, significant time in, I don't think that's a convince that, yeah, he's great. You should definitely give this kid a chance. But I think if you go out and you get him, there's a real chance you think you can turn it around. That there's something left there that you're trying to pull off, sort of the Sam Darnold effect. Where we watched Darnold, and he went through in a very similar way where, well, he was in New York, and that clearly didn't work out. And everything he's done after has also not looked incredible. Then he goes to Minnesota, plays the year out. I mean, he won, what, 14 games in Minnesota? Had them competing in the playoffs. There's a real shot there. There's something actually there that now he gets a second contract. And he was good enough that there was faith still with the Minnesota franchise despite their rookie quarterback being down for the year. They're trying to find that. Which then again, in my eyes, leaves Joe Flacco as the odd man out. And I already know, and you can answer it at 216-474-0092, whether or not you'd be upset if the Browns decided they were going to move on from Joe. I already think I know the answer, though. It feels like I know the fan base is going to be upset. You're practically clamoring for the guy to be brought back in 2024, and I get it. Obviously, played the good six games. They didn't bring him back. I thought it made a ton of sense given what they wanted to do. They wanted to minimize the pressure around Deshaun. That was clear and obvious. But you also see what Joe was last year. He is the exact same quarterback he was when he was here. And you don't just win games based off of playing like that. You happen to win three in a row. It got you to the playoffs. Joe obviously made that year fun to watch, got you back into a playoff spot when you thought all hope was dead. He resurrected a franchise that was on its last leg right there. And I can see the appeal of it. If you're going to be upset, I just think it's probably holding on a little bit to 2023. But I know it's going to upset the fan base, which at this point, I don't know that Jimmy's standing on like great ground. And obviously he's the owner. It doesn't matter if he's standing on great ground. I don't know that in the fan base's eyes right now, they're just overly thrilled with him. Drafting two quarterbacks, drafting two running backs, failing to address a lot of the offensive needs. And then obviously, the Deshaun situation leaves you with where it is. The Miles situation left you with where it was. And clearly, a 3-14 season doesn't back it up either. But it's really all that it is. It's just, if Jimmy doesn't care about making the fan base happy based on non-football results, in a way, you can afford to move on from Joe. You don't have to keep him around. We know what he brings. We know what he can be. And I don't know that that's what this team even needs. If you look at the Cleveland Browns heading into the 2025 season, Joe's the better quarterback than Kenny Pickett. If I'm watching football, I'd rather watch Joe Flacco play football for the Browns for the entertainment value and the value of watching this team hopefully win football games. But I think that the Browns made it very obvious through this draft their intention is not to win football games in 2025. It's not to lose them, but it's not to go out there and desperately compete for a playoff spot. If you're doing that, I don't think you draft two quarterbacks. If you're doing that, I don't think you overload the running back room with two running backs that are both young and pair them with Jerome Ford and create even a little bit of overcrowded and confusion in that room. You probably would have addressed the wide receiver spot. You probably would have tackled the offensive problems like offensive line. You went out and you bolstered the defense. Good moves in the long term. Don't know that it necessarily helps you out a ton in the short term. And if we're viewing it through that lens, Joe only helps you in the short term. Joe helps you win football games this year. It gives you a sense of stability. It gives you a little bit more of an entertainment factor, where you know he's going to be slinging it, and you know the fan base is going to love him. But if you're looking for the long-term solution for the Browns, obviously Joe Flacco does not fit the billing. And I think you need to find what's going to work. Where it feels like now with four quarterbacks, where you felt like it was originally going to be Flacco, Pickett, and a rookie, by bringing in two, you've had to eliminate one of the two veterans. You can't go in with four. Again, 216-474-0092. Would you be mad if the Browns moved on from Joe? Let's go out to the phones. Let's go to Dustin. What's going on, Dustin?
Hey, Hey, what's up, man? Looking at the big picture of things, man, we moved on for Baker Mayfield.
Right.
And we sucked for a while. And then Joe Flacco comes to town, and we're relevant again. I just hate to see us move on from a veteran presence that could possibly be the better mentor than a Kenny Pickett that we've seen in Pittsburgh, who was terrible. I mean, this guy was terrible in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Do we really want that for another year? I mean, look what Sam Darnold's doing now. I mean, he's no longer in Minnesota for a reason, because they can't win playoff games with him.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously drafting a quarterback plays into that. And Dustin, I appreciate the call. You make a good point. I think for Minnesota, it's obviously a different situation with J.J. McCarthy sitting there, and you're basically waiting him for him to take over the reins. But that is the other side of it, too, is when you talk mentor, I think obviously you're not looking at Kenny Pickett to be a mentor, nor is Kenny Pickett looking to be a mentor himself. That guy wants to go out and compete for starting jobs. He's on a rookie contract, needs an opportunity to go and try to earn himself a second contract. If you're the Browns, there's nothing of real use besides a couple of years in the NFL, and really the 1 year under the Eagles is probably the one you trust, that Kenny's going to be able to massively teach the rookies as they come in. A lot of that experience would lie in Joe. I just don't know if that beyond training camp, they're really banking on Joe being that type of mentor and being able to bring these guys along. Because you don't want Joe to be the reason that your young quarterback succeed. You don't want the veteran quarterback to be the reason that these young guys actually succeed. You want that to be your coaching staff. You want that to be your quarterback's coach. And in all likelihood, at least in Cleveland, you want that to be Kevin Stefanski. The so-called quarterback guru has to be able to actually develop talent, not just get it done with veteran quarterbacks. Right? We've seen him do it with Jacoby Brissett. You've seen him do it with Flacco, to some degree with Baker, as a younger guy, but a lot of people would say you missed out on probably some of the development there too. If Kevin's going to be around and Andrew Berry's going to be around, you have to be able to develop the talent that's put in front of you, especially at the quarterback position. So none of those guys bring a mentor presence outside of Joe, but I do think that they're banking on Kevin being able to bring that guy along. And if not, not that every quarterback strong suit is player development, but there has to be a sense of that in the room. There has to be guys who show up and help develop your players. Your coaches have to be able to do that. It's part of the game. It's part of what makes good teams great. Any GM can go out there and build a roster that's really good for 1 year. But to be able to establish sustained success, something that the Browns have not been able to do, you have to be able to develop the talent that you already have available to you. And what that looks like is taking a rookie quarterback or even two rookie quarterbacks and saying, Kevin, you need to go and be the difference maker. You need to bring these guys up to speed. You need to get these guys competing at the level they should be competing. I don't think it's fair to lean on Joe for that. I think it obviously helps from a player perspective, but it's not like Kevin's Bill Belichick, guys. He's not 70 years old. He can talk to a player man-to-man. He's young enough for that. And I think you have to be able to get it done. You can avoid the veteran quarterback or try to get the most out of Joe when he's here before the season starts. But ultimately, I'm not banking on the development of the mentor being from Flacco. I'm banking on the mentorship and the development of my quarterbacks being on my head coach. Again, the proclaimed quarterback guru, you got to go show it to me. And I like Kevin, but at some point, it's sort of put up or shut up around here. Right? You got to be able to show me the results on the field. And two rookie quarterbacks definitely give you the opportunity to do that. All right, let's leave that there. Coming up here at 9 o'clock, as we always do, we'll get to Get a Grip. And at 9:20, Lance Rison, Cleveland.com, going to join us and give his reaction to the Browns draft and what on earth it is that they're building. It's Jake Melnick with you guys here on Overtime on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.